Before we get into some other things around the NHL, the headline story is the Carey Price situation. We're all on the same page. We're glad that he's getting the help that he needs, and we all wish the best for Carey Price and his family. I'm curious, you know, watching that Mark Bergevin press conference this morning, and, you know, at times it was emotional, specifically when Bergevin was asked, you know, what Carey Price, the person, means to him. It's a challenging question, and it was a hard answer to get through. But, I mean, you've sat in that chair. You've been a general manager of an NHL team. You know the pressures that come along with it. You've done press conferences, some you wanted to do and some you probably didn't. If you're the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens and you're presented with this news and you need to put together a way to deliver it once the announcement comes back, essentially what I'm asking you is, as a GM, what do you do in this situation, Jeff?
I think once you're comfortable and the player's comfortable and the family's comfortable, you know, you've got to talk to the media and get it out there and, and you know, tell the story and make sure everyone's comfortable. And you know, you talk to your players, your organization, the coaches, and have everybody know the story and inside be strong with your group and you know, go from there and do everything you can to support the player.
When you notice that you have a player who is struggling, do you feel that as a general manager, it's incumbent upon you to approach that player? Or do you have a hands-off policy? What do you do? Essentially, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions about being a GM because, you know, there's no book you can pick up called How to Be a GM in the NHL. When you see that there's a player struggling, Jeff, what do you do?
I think you got to go see the player. You know, you kind of have to think of it like, you know, you're a parent and these are a little bit your children, right? You have to look after them first and make sure that everything in their lives is going the right way and you're responsible for them while they're on your watch. And, you know, we've had situations with that in some of the places I've been and you sit down with the player and you just talk to him about his life and make sure that the choices are being made. Is there help that needs to be is there something we can do for you? Is there some kind of help we can offer? You know, a lot of times the players, they want that help. They, you know, they need that help, and they're very appreciative for you to do that. And as long as everything is with them, you talk to them first and handle it with them, and then, you know, and then keep it in-house and then go from there as long as they're comfortable with that.
Away from the Montreal and the Carey Price page, I want to ask you about star players and handling star players. We all know that there are, listen, there's, you handle star players differently than other players. I remember Bob Gainey once had a quote, and I'm paraphrasing here and probably butchering what Bob Gainey said, but it was something along the lines of, as a general manager, you better hope that you have headaches. Because if you have headaches, that probably means you have star players. And if you have star players, generally, you're going to have a really good team. If it's easy being a general manager, it probably means your team is no good. I'm paraphrasing that, but the spirit of that comes from Bob Gainey. Your thoughts on how to handle star players in the year 2021, which I'm sure was, you know, much different than when you started in the NHL.
Oh, it is. There's no question. I think the biggest thing you can do with those guys now is you give them a little bit of a voice. Right, you're talking to them and make sure that they understand, you know, that where they are in the pecking order, and you know you have to treat them, you know, have to be accountable too, and coaches have to hold them accountable. I remember when Torts had Panarin and we acquired Panarin, he called me and he said, "Listen, I tell everybody, you can do, you guys don't try it," and we all understand that. And those guys, star players, they have a different way of thinking, they have a different mindset. Their mind works totally different than third, fourth players. And we all know that and understand that. But giving them a voice on the team, let them understand, you know, how you want to play, how you want to run your team. I just think that's the way that the league has gone.
With Jeff Gorton from the NHL Network, former general manager of the New York Rangers. And I want to ask you a couple of things about a couple of players on that Rangers squad, because I was mentioning off the top, like, now, this foundation that you laid for the New York Rangers really is impressive. And one player, and we can talk about Panarin and Lafreniere and Kako in the future, Shesterkin. One player that I think may be, you know, as much as you can be a quiet personality in New York, he may be it. I don't know that we really know or appreciate the person and the player that is Mika Zibanejad. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I think you nailed it. He is pretty quiet, but he's in, there's a burning fire in there. He wants to win. He wants to be amongst the best players. He knows he's good, but it took him time. I think it's a learning lesson for a lot. You know, we deal with a lot. We put these players in the league so young. We want them to be great, you know, so early. But it took him a little time. But once he took off, you know, obviously you think back to the 5-goal game with Washington, some of the things he's been able to do to make himself a star player. He's quiet, but inside that locker room, he's really loved. You know, he's a good teammate. He's quiet, but he's a funny guy, right? He has those off-ice things with some music and some other things he likes to do. But he's a fun guy. Everybody loves him. But he's a gamer, right? When the lights are on, he loves New York, and he's really played well there.
You know, 2 years ago on my ballot, I had Artemi Panarin as the Hart Trophy winner. What should we know about him? And was that, like, I'll just be blunt, Jeff. Like, we all thought from day one, Artemi Panarin is going to the New York Rangers. Like, that's the beginning of the year. Yeah. Like, listen, at the end of all this, he's going to the Rangers, and he ended up there. Was that a difficult negotiation? Was it an easy negotiation? I mean, listen, you have you know what the conversation is like out there. Everybody was saying he's going to New York. What was the nature of that conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, listen, I think any GM that was the general manager of the Rangers was probably going to get him. I'm not naive enough to not think that. You know, my job there was just not screw it up. And you know, we gave him a lot of money, but at the end of the day, he had some other choices, so you had to step up and pay him. It hasn't disappointed, obviously. He's one of the best players in the world. But you're right, that was an easy negotiation. He wanted to come to New York. We all felt that. That makes it a little easier, but, you know, like I said, my job there was just kind of stay out of the way and just get his contract.
So a couple of the teams around the NHL, and we'll focus in on the East and the Metropolitan specifically. I mean, that's a division you have, you know, intimate knowledge of. Is there one team out there that, in your opinion, in the Metropolitan doesn't get the attention that they should? And if so, who's that squad?
Well, I mean, for me, it's probably the Islanders. I think it's funny to say that they go to the finals, but like I looked at it yesterday. You look at the, you know, you look at what people are saying, and it's always every year they kind of get discounted, and then there they are at the end of the year. So I don't know. There's not a lot of ads, right? Who does his business? They, you know, Letty goes out, yet they find another guy. Chara's coming in. They just have a way of just plugging people into the way they do things. So I'm impressed with what they're doing and how good they've been for a while. If there's another team that maybe off the radar that probably, you know, I've watched a lot of Jersey. I think I'm really curious to see how Jack Hughes is going to do and Hischier and Hamilton, how he's going to fit in there. You know, I like Lindy a lot as a coach. So I'm kind of curious to see if they take a little bit of a step here.
You know, the one team in the Metro that I mean, I really have no idea what's going to happen to them, what kind of season they're going to have. Even though at the end of last season, we all said, look, we know they can score. They need to bounce back from the goaltender, but they have to fix their D. Chuck Fletcher went out, and, you know, whether it was Ellis or Ristolainen coming in, Keith Yandel, he did address the issue on the back end. But I still, and we saw yesterday, Morgan Frost didn't make the team as well. I don't know that I have a handle on the Philadelphia Flyers yet. Do you? And if so, who are the Philadelphia Flyers?
Yeah, see, I'm with you on the Flyers. 2 years ago when AV went there, their first year, I was really impressed. And obviously they took a dip and Carhartt was off. To me, it's if he's good, because they have a lot of talent. Their defense, to me, I like it. I think he's, you know, if you look at Chuck's career, he looks at situations and he doesn't wait around. And he went out and said, my defense wasn't good, I'm going to fix it. So I like what he did. I think without Hazy, you know, starting the beginning of the year there, I think it's going to be hard, you know, to compete in that division. But there are a number of players in the Metro that are out. You know, Pittsburgh's got their problems. And a few other teams have some guys missing. So it's going to be hard. That, you know, Metro, I don't know, division of death a little bit here. So, you know,
it
there's
is.
No easy nights.
It's tough. That's the one that everyone has circled. Like, wow, this one is a killer division. I want to finish up by asking you about the NHL's 32nd team. we may look at it and say, we like the blue line, we like the goaltender, but who's going to score the goals? What do you make of the Seattle Kraken this year?
Well, I like it. I think that, listen, it's hard. I think everybody wanted them to go out and get Tarasenko or Big Star and when they were available, but I like what he's done. I think he's, if I look at their roster, he's got four lines that are of real capable, hardworking players. I think he's got the ability with that defense to go out and make deals because everyone's looking for defense. And I like their defense. I think their goaltending is pretty strong. I think they're in a division where they can make hay. So I think, you know, listen, I think that market's going to be really impressive. I think that's going to be a destination place. I think the players are going to love it. I think the fans are going to create a serious environment there. I like what he's done there, you know. Yanni Gord, some of those guys that go there. If you look back to Vegas, you know, who knew William Karlsson was going to be William Karlsson? So I would look for a few guys there on their roster that might do that for them, and I like what Ronnie's done there.